We will read again of the armor of God. Starting in verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Dear Lord, we just lift this time before you. We lift our pastor Paul before you, and we pray, Lord, that your anointing would be upon him this morning. That as we come here not to listen to Paul, but to listen to you. And we pray that you will speak through him. We know that's his desire. That's our desire also. So Lord, give us ears to hear, hearts to receive what you have for us today. And Lord, we know that you can change our lives by one little thing that we hear. And we pray that you would do that here today. Use your servant Paul for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
So last week, we looked at the fact that Paul likes to allude to us or call us soldiers, Christian soldiers. And the logical inference from that is that as soldiers, we are not to get entangled in the affairs of this life, of this world. In other words, we are not to get worldly minded. We are to be soldier minded. We are to be have our minds on those things which we have been employed to be concerned about. A soldier is concerned about being a soldier and about the army or the branch of the armed forces that they are recruited to. So they have to go through their training and they have to go through their discipline and they have to have a certain regimen every day that they go through. And that embosses on their minds that they are not free to do anything they want, think anything they want, have certain ideas the way that they want them. They have got to have a mindset that befits a soldier. They also have to be ready. Of course, a soldier spends many times not fighting. Most of the time, for most soldiers, they do not see battle. But they have to be battle ready. They have to be ready to be called upon for battle. After all, what would be the point of being a soldier and not being ready to fight or not having any kind of an idea that you have to fight? Doesn't make sense, does it? Armies fight. That's what they're for. Or, of course, they have to have that deterrent. And they're not a deterrent if the army is no good at fighting. The only reason that an army offers a deterrent is because the soldiers and the commanders and the generals and so on have a mind for battle, have a mind for strategy, for defense and for also attack. And Jesus, who is called the captain of our salvation in Hebrews chapter 2, has called us, has enlisted us, every one of us if we're Christians, into his army, and so we are soldiers. That shouldn't come as news to us, but often it doesn't register with us the way that it should. Often we forget that we are enlisted. And that is not a good position for us to be in. That is not the mindset that we ought to have. Paul also, in that passage that we looked at in 1 Timothy 2 last week, said that we are to be ready to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Suffering, difficulty, problems. Soldiers have to go through and are often put through their paces in order to make sure that they don't get soft. Again, a soldier that is soft is not much use on the battlefield. So we, when we go through hardness, when we go through difficulty, we must see it as part of that hardening, of part of that exercise and that discipline as soldiers that we go through in order to keep us in the right frame of mind and in the right kind of spiritual fitness to engage the enemy. We have to have the right mindset, the right outlook. Now, I asked a while ago how many of you heard Abby Johnson at the Center for Life Choices, and one of the reasons I asked that is because she had the right mindset. She had the right outlook, and that was very clear in the way that she presented her position, and it was very clear in the clarity that she had about what the gospel was about and what being a soldier of Jesus Christ was about. I had to leave early. I didn't realize that there was Q&A afterwards, but she got back up evidently, and she started to talk about the first church that she joined, which was a biblically minded church, which found out that she was working for Planned Parenthood and said that she couldn't join. The reason that she couldn't join is because what Planned Parenthood advocates and believes is completely against what the Bible advocates and what a Christian therefore is to believe. We are not for ending vulnerable life in the womb. We are not for the kind of practices of death that the world culture seems to be completely okay with. And so they denied her membership. But then she went to an Episcopal church that was only too happy to embrace her. Until, of course, she quit Planned Parenthood. Once she quit Planned Parenthood, then the church, the Episcopal church, that was not happy to have her anymore. Why? Well, because that particular church was not a Christian church. Now, there are Episcopalians, and there certainly are Anglicans, and I know some of them are my friends, who are solid Christians. So I don't want to give the impression that all Episcopalians or Anglicans are not Christians. But there are many that are not. There are many in the Methodist Church that are not. Again, quite a few that are. Those might seem to be the kind of denominations where you would expect non-Christians to hang out. But it's also true that in those churches that profess to be more biblically minded, that don't take higher critical views of the Bible, that don't entertain beliefs that are clearly in opposition to Scripture, those churches too can have unsaved people, worldly-minded people within them. This church could be one of those churches. Why should we think we're an exception? And therefore it is important when we're dealing with spiritual warfare, as well as with other matters, that we always make it difficult, not deliberately so, but we always make it difficult to be a worldly-minded person in this congregation. So that a person who is thinking like the world and not thinking like a soldier of Jesus Christ finds it uncomfortable, finds that they're out of place with the ideas that are advocated here. Because the ideas that are advocated here, God help us, are going to be Christian and biblical. They're going to be in line with Scripture, and those are the things that, as a soldier of Jesus Christ, we must all sign up to. Well, in this passage here, in Ephesians chapter 6, of course, it's a very well-known passage, and we'll be going through it. The particular attitude of mind that I want to point out in the time that I have left here is the fact that we have to stand. We have to stand. Ephesians 6, verses 10 and 11 say this: "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." We are required to stand. We are required to stand. That means it is as expected of us by our Lord, by our captain, that we are not asleep, that we are not laying down, that we are not seeking our own comforts, that we are not having our ears tickled by messages that are not directly from Scripture. We have to understand that in order to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, we have to be able to stand. Now, it is one thing, of course, to say that a Christian must stand. But it's another thing to be able to stand. Do you see? It's another thing to be able to stand. And we have to be able to stand. There is no point in me telling you to stand for the Lord when you are not able to do that in your own strength, particularly when you are up against the kind of foe that you're up against. Notice that Paul says in verse 11, stand against the schemes or the wiles of the devil. Now, the schemes and the wiles of the devil, I've touched upon that. We'll say more about that. But these are the ideas, these are the attitudes of mind, these are the emotions that are curried up in the hearts of people in the world. These are the priorities. These are the rights. These are the values of the people who are not in the kingdom of God. As Steve read from Ephesians 2, the devil is called the prince of the power of the air. He is the ruler of this world, the ruler of the schemes of this world, the ruler of the governments of this world, the ruler of the organizations in this world, the ruler of the attitudes of this world. Don't think that the different views that are advocated in our media or that are brought in to our places of work or into our schools, don't think that these ideas come from some kind of a neutral zone and are just arrived at by the inexorable progress of humanity. No, they are often brought in by people who are influenced by the devil. Now, they may not know that they're influenced by the devil, because that's the way the devil works. He's a deceiver. The deceiver doesn't say, "Hi, my name's Satan." Satan means adversary. That's what my name means. I'm your adversary. And I'm a deceiver. And I'm a liar. He doesn't do that. Satan shows up and he says, "Hi," but he seems to be a reasonable, fair, kind, helpful angel of light. And he is believed. And all of a sudden his ideas, his latest scheme to corrupt the world and to keep them away from God and to direct them in the wrong path takes hold. It doesn't matter what that scheme, what that idea may be. There have been different ones through history. We face particular challenges today, which have to do with homosexuality and the gay, lesbian, and transgender agenda. These ideas have taken hold very quickly and very powerfully. And of course, if certain things go certain ways, there will be a day when even saying that from the pulpit will be considered a crime. Satan loves that. Satan is all over that. The challenge is, what will the church, how will the church respond to that? What will individual Christians think about that? Will they allow the scripture to influence them, or will they allow the world to influence them? The schemes of the devil. I wonder how many of us, when we read our newspapers, we don't read many newspapers much anymore, I know, but when we read our newspapers, or we turn on the TV channel and we listen to the news, do we understand that much of what we are given is being fed to us from the spiritual realm? And that we've got to be wise. We've got to be discerning. We cannot just take it in. You think, well, these people, they look so smart and they look so fair and they look so good. We can believe them. No, you can't. You have to have discernment. You have to have a particular kind of discernment that comes from having the right attitude of mind. The attitude of mind of a Christian who is standing in the Lord and his might. We'll examine what it is more to stand in the power of the Lord, but the basic idea is this. Biblical truth trumps everything. Biblical truth trumps everything. Our minds should be saturated with the truths of this book. Our thoughts should grow out of what we've read here in the Word of God. Our ideas, our priorities, our values, our hopes, our ambitions should have passed through the grid of scripture. And what doesn't make it out on the other side, that's a good thing. The scripture has filtered it out. What comes out of the other side will make us more content. and will certainly make us able to stand in the Lord's might, because we will understand what the Lord wants us to be like, what the Lord wants us to think like, and we will also understand what Satan's devices look like. Does that make sense? So we are required to stand, and we are made able to stand by God. But notice here that Paul does not say, let go and let God. Does he? He doesn't do that. He says, be strong. He says, put on the whole armor of God. He doesn't say, just wait around for God to put it on you. That's not going to happen. We have to put it on. Now, when a person put on armor, when a person got ready for battle, they also put it off at the end of the day. Yes? I mean, they didn't sleep in it unless they were out on the battlefield. And therefore, the idea is to keep putting on this in readiness for each successive day. Every day we have to put on this armor of God. Every day we have to think, okay, today is a day to stand for Christ. Today is a day to stand against the wiles of the devil. But I wonder how many of us do think that way. A true understanding of the gospel will present it not as an easy way of life, but as a struggle. As a struggle. Paul says in verse 12 that we wrestle. We wrestle. I've never wrestled in my life. But the idea of it doesn't seem very attractive to me. But some people do it. And it takes a lot of effort, a lot of training, a lot of stamina, a lot of skill. It is not an armchair activity. And standing for Christ is not an armchair activity. Verse 11, that we may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Verse 13, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Verse 14, stand therefore. God wants us to stand. He doesn't want us to be lounging around. He doesn't want us to be comfortable Christians. Now, this is what we must be careful for, and I know that I've got 2 points left and my time is running out. But it's most important that we understand that if we're under messages that are making us feel comfortable all the time, if we're listening to messages or reading books that are always making us feel comfortable, then we will not be able to stand. We are not fit to serve as a soldier in Christ's army. We will go missing in action. And so that's the first thing. We are required to stand, and therefore we've got to have that mindset that makes us able to stand. Secondly, standing is not just standing and doing nothing. Now, there's some falsehood that enters into a certain teaching on the armor of God, which is just whether there's nothing at the back, so therefore we just stand and present the armor of God to Satan, and we just kind of swish the sword in front of ourselves like this, you see. There, of course, is some truth to that. We are supposed to present our front. We are supposed to present ourselves to the enemy. But we've got to fight. We've got to fight. Doesn't Paul say, fight the good fight of faith? I think he does. Yes. I have fought the fight, he says. Well, he's the same person that says we've got to put on the armor of God. What have we got to put the armor of God on? So we can stand and fight. Fight. Now, please understand, we don't go on the attack. We don't go on the attack. And there's a reason for that. We don't break ranks. We don't just go out there, you know, as some kind of independent soldier of fortune, going out there having a go at the world, the flesh and the devil on our own. That's not very wise. We are outnumbered. We will be overpowered. We will become discouraged. We will become disconsolate. We will be a victim of our own pride. But we must fight. So we have to have a mindset that we are soldiers and that we're enlisted on Christ's side, and then we must understand that these ideas that come to us from the world are not things that we can just ignore. How do we fight against the wiles of the devil? With the truth. With the truth. Not just intellectually knowing the truth, but with applying the truth to our lives. By influencing others with the truth. Do you see? And that, of course, is not just the doctrines of Scripture. That's important. But it's also our testimonies as Christians. Our prayers for others, to God on behalf of others, our intercessions, our service for Christ in the church. This is how we fight. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual. They're mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. And the one reinforces the other. Have a biblical mindset. Then serve out of a biblical mindset. Pray to God out of a biblical mindset. Learn more from a biblical mindset. Ask for forgiveness when we mess up. Comes from a biblical mindset. Discern the lies that are out there. Test all things. Hold fast that which is true. So we fight, and we also resist. We resist. Now, you can't resist unless you're standing. Can you? You can't be on the sofa and resist. It's very hard to resist when you're lying horizontal. Comfortable Christians. Satan loves comfortable Christians. Satan loves Christians when they've got woolly minds, because all they listen to all the time is that God affirms them and has a wonderful plan for their lives. I mean, who doesn't want to hear that? But what good is it for you? Do you think that kind of attitude comes through and helps a soldier be a soldier? The captain, the general, the sergeant major, whoever, doesn't come into the barracks and say, you know what, the general loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. I mean, it's true that our captain does. But he has a wonderful plan for our eternal life. He may not have a wonderful plan, at least from our perspective, for this life. We can't tell a person that God has a wonderful plan for this life. Why not? Because we could face persecution, we could face difficulty, we could face sickness, we could face bereavement, we could face unemployment, we could face all kinds of problems and difficulties. And Christians do. And that is not, and can never be said, to be wonderful. And so we need to also have an attitude of resisting the devil. Resist the devil and he will flee from you, we are told. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones put things this way. I like his illustration, so I'm just going to read part of what he says here. There are many illustrations of the dangerous position and condition that we can get in when we are idle. David's greatest sin, his most terrible fall, in a way resulted from the fact that he was doing nothing. His armies were fighting great battles, but he was at home in Jerusalem with very little to do. And it was because of his idleness that the temptation came and caught him. When your hands are idle, when you are doing nothing, Satan is ever ready to take advantage of the position and come and entice you. It is a dangerous state to be in. So the Christian is exhorted in many places in the Scripture to be active in the work of the Lord. In the right way, of course. I'm not advocating a mere foolish activism, just some bustling around in business without knowing what we are doing. I am talking about living the normal Christian life. This is a distinction that is being forgotten today. People think that being active means doing something outside themselves, as it were, whereas the main activity to which we are always exhorted in the Scripture is the living of the Christian life itself. That is the highest form of activity for those who are not specially called to some peculiar task in connection with the life of the Christian church. He illustrates this by going to the list that Peter gives in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. For this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. Well, those are in all internal things. That's where the activity is, do you see? Now, out of the exercise of that mindset comes the work for God in the church and in the community. Without that readiness, you're just doing good works, which the world thinks is good works. God doesn't think anything to it at all. He thinks it's hypocrisy. And so finally here, we are to stand and fight and resist, and we are to do it in the Lord's might. The Lord's might. Now, in order to tap into the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, all we have to do is trust Him. All we have to do is have the right mindset to obey Him. All we have to do is to understand the kind of life that we've been called to and to apply ourselves to it. Now, I'm second to nobody in saying that a person, if they have received Jesus Christ as their Savior, then they are saved, because they are justified in God's sight, judicially speaking, they are justified by the decision of God in their favor because they've trusted in Jesus. And moreover, I don't think a person can lose their salvation because of that justification. Yet there is a great danger in leaving the gospel there and saying, that's all. That's all. We must never present the gospel as if that is it. Because in order to come to Christ, in order to embrace Christ, there has to be the presentation of the gospel which includes what the Christian life is about. That we are not what we were. That we're not in Adam anymore, we are now in Christ. And that is a big change. And that puts us on Satan's radar. And that means that we will have spiritual warfare. We've got to have that mentality. We've got to have that outlook. It's got to be taught. It's got to be believed. Because unless it is, we're no good. We're just dead weight in the church. Do you understand that? And so Paul says here, this is just a quick word of summary. Paul says that we are to stand and that we are able to stand. I'll leave you with this question. Are you ready to stand? Let's pray. So Heavenly Father, we are confronted when we're thinking about spiritual warfare, we are confronted with our own attitude towards our faith. We are challenged, Father, to make sure that we are separate from the world and that we see ourselves as strangers and pilgrims passing through this life on the way to our home. And that while we're passing through, Lord, we understand that we are in the Lord's army and that we therefore must have a soldier's outlook. Satan and his hordes most certainly have a soldier's outlook when it comes to Christians. They're ready for the fight. Help us to be ready and help us to stay ready in your might. Amen.